WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart radio station.
Good morning, Orlando, and happy Veterans Day here at 6 o'clock on a Friday morning. Welcome aboard for a first look now at Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540, and on the iHeart Radio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, Florida's East Coast in recovery mode following Nicole. More in 1 minute.
And lots of tributes to our veterans all morning long, but lots of other news to talk about. Trump versus DeSantis off the top. Join the conversation on Good Morning Orlando.
6:02 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. Governor Ron DeSantis is expanding a state of emergency declaration to cover all Florida counties in the aftermath of Tropical Storm Nicole.
You do have downed trees, you have power lines, you have some road washouts, combined winds and storm surge. We've seen beach erosion, especially in areas that had already seen erosion from Hurricane Ian.
And a prime example of what the governor was talking about can be found in Volusia County, where the coastline got walloped by Ian. Then 6 weeks later, it was Nicole. The result?
The structural damage along our coastline is unprecedented. We've never experienced anything like this before, so we ask your patience as we make our assessments. Your safety is our top priority.
Volusia County Manager George Rechtenwald says 11 structures in Daytona Beach Shores and Wilbur-by-the-Sea have been found to be compromised, with more expected as assessments continue. Rechtenwald says a building might look safe, but there may be underlying foundation damage that might not be visible. 5 deaths in Florida are being tied to Nicole. The Orange County Sheriff's Office says the storm knocked down a power line in Conway, electrocuting 2 people yesterday. 2 other people died in a car crash on the Florida Turnpike, and a 68-year-old man died on his yacht during the peak of the storm. It looks like the race for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination is off to an explosive start. Former President Donald Trump released a statement yesterday criticizing Governor DeSantis. Trump called DeSantis an average governor, and he again referred to him as Ron DeSanctimonious. Georgia Senate Republican candidate Herschel Walker is already firing up his runoff campaign against Democratic incumbent Raphael Warnock. The former NFL star held a rally in Canton, Georgia, speaking to supporters for the first time since election night, along with Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
They said we're in overtime. We're in overtime. That means we got a runoff. Hey, I was built for this. I was built for this.
Voters in Georgia go to the polls once again December 6th to decide if Walker or Warnock wins. And on Thursday Night Football, the Panthers used a strong running game to beat the Falcons on a rain-soaked field in Charlotte.
Carolina racked up 232 yards rushing, and the Panthers' defense sacked Atlanta quarterback Marcus Mariota 5 times in the Panthers' 25-15 victory Thursday. Deontay Foreman ran for 130 yards and a touchdown, and Laviska Shenault also had a rushing score for Carolina. Mariota threw a pair of touchdowns for the Falcons, but also was under 200 yards passing with an interception. With the win, the Panthers improved to 3-7, while the Falcons dropped to 4-6. But because they play in football's worst division, the NFC South, both are very much in the race for the division crown, just behind the first place Bucks, who are 4-5 heading into their game Sunday against the Seahawks. I'm Eric Messersmith, Fox News.
WFLA News time is 6:05. Alex Jones is ordered to pay an additional $473 million in the Sandy Hook case. That story's online at WFLAOrlando.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WFLA Orlando. The first hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
Quick wit and compelling perspectives. Glenn Beck, 9 till noon. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. Bud heading around, Inspector Guy Roberts and Lizzie Steele with you on the Veterans Day edition of Good Morning, Orlando, here on News Radio WFLA, as in we're freedom-loving Americans just like you, and we honor all those who served or are serving in the armed forces. You are America's shining stars, and you're the keepers of all of the freedoms we enjoy, and we love you for it. We honor you for it, and we will all morning long. By the way, a very special guest coming up in 1 hour. We're very excited about this. We're going to be talking with Chelsea Porterfield, who was the first woman ever to stand guard at the tomb of the unknown soldier at Arlington National Cemetery. Lots of Veterans Day's events. We'll tell you about some of them along the way. The rest of them are on Bud's blog at WFLAOrlando.com. Guy Roberts is our in-house veteran on the team, served so well in the United States Navy, and there's a change you'd like to see, and it's a good time to bring it up on Veterans Day. Guy, what are you thinking about?
I'm thinking that since it's Veterans Day, whether you went to war or not, should veterans have the day off? I think veterans should have Veterans Day off.
You know, I think that's a great idea, Guy, but I'm wondering about, we have a lot of veterans who are retired, who are not working. Should there be something comparable done for them as well?
Absolutely, if we can figure it out.
Very interesting. You're not calling for a national holiday here, but you are calling for a day off for anyone who's in the workforce right now. But what about, that's a great question you ask, Alan, too. Well, I think we may have opened up a Veterans Day can of worms here, but what do you think about, there's something special for all veterans? I mean, there are deals at restaurants all over the place and attractions, et cetera, if you can identify yourself as a veteran. But to go beyond that, what about a day off for veterans who are working? And then what would the equivalent be for those who are retired? 407-916-5400, text line 23680. We'll thread that throughout the show. We'll be playing my special recorded pieces that are a tradition here. What is a veteran and freedom isn't free? In a moment, a one-word texting poll. Are you ready to vote? Who do you now think gives Republicans the best chance of winning the White House in 2024? Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis? The voting begins now. Text Don or text Ron to 23680. An update on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in a quick 2 minutes, and we're diving in. Happy Veterans Day, one and all, here on News Radio WFLA. This headline, in the wake of Tropical Storm Nicole's passage through Central Florida, we can tell you that flights are running again at Orlando International Airport. OIA resumed domestic arrivals last night, full flight operations starting this morning. Almost 1,500 flights were canceled the last couple of days. Airport officials say storm damage to facilities and infrastructure, though, proved to be minimal. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories for you on Good Morning Orlando.
FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeart Radio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
There can never be enough tributes to our veterans, those who have served and are serving in the armed services, but there are many throughout Central Florida. In Orange County today, the Veterans Day ceremony will be hosted by Mayor Jerry Demings at 11 to 11:30 this morning on Rosalind Avenue in Orlando, live streamed on Facebook by Orange TV. The Veterans Day Parade, 23rd annual edition here in Orlando, actually is tomorrow on Saturday at 11 a.m. Along Orange, around Rosalind, et cetera. And then there are many, many other events and, of course, all kinds of deals and discounts available to veterans. Let's get into politics right now. In the wake of the midterm elections here, the huge red wave led by Governor Ron DeSantis and the lack of the national red wave that was to be powered, many thought, and I think he believed it as well, by Donald Trump. We have a one-word texting poll. We've asked versions of this before. We have updated it. And, Lizzie, what is the question we want folks to react to?
Who do you think gives Republicans the best chance of winning the White House in 2024, Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis? Text Don or Ron to 23680. That's 23680.
Trump's always won that, but I've noticed the gap has narrowed. We probably asked it three or four times, including today. So who do you think gives the Republicans the best chance to win the White House in 2024, Trump or DeSantis? Text either Don or Ron to 23680. It's not who you have been supporting. The question on the table here, and this is why people are wrong when they say I've turned away from Trump. It's not true. But what I'm looking for is the Republicans have got to take the White House back from the Democrats and save this country from complete ruin and collapse. And I'm looking for the best person to do that. And in the Republican Party, there's no contest beyond Trump and DeSantis. But between the two, who gives the Republicans the best shot? That is the question. And if you want to talk about it, 407-916-5400, text line is 23680. Alan, I'm really glad he gave us the headline earlier, a little bit more on what Trump said. DeSantis hasn't taken any shots at Trump that I'm aware of, except he will not pledge to not run for president in 2024 if Trump jumps in. And Trump thinks he's, you know, he's not grateful and he's not paying homage to DeSantis for having put him on the map and gotten him over the finish line to become governor in 2018. But how long is DeSantis supposed to pay that kind of homage to Trump? Forever, I think, in the minds of Trump, but I don't think that that's realistic, and I don't think it's right. Anyway, Trump wrote yesterday, News Corp, which is Fox, the Wall Street Journal, and no longer Great New York Post, all in for Governor Ron DeSanctimonious. He slammed him again. Why? An average Republican governor, he called him, with great public relations. Trump attributed DeSantis' political success as governor to the weather in his state, saying that he has the advantage of sunshine, where people from badly run states up north would go no matter who the governor was, just like I did. Wow. So what about it, guys? Do you see it differently than perhaps you once did? The question being, DeSantis or Trump? Which gives Republicans the best shot at the White House in 2024? What are your thoughts on that?
I'm going to go with DeSantis because Trump does have too much baggage. I do and still enjoy what he did for us.
Oh yeah.
But right now, I think him running is going to give a bad taste in America's mouth.
He was a great president in so many ways. But he does have a lot of baggage. He's got a lot of legal problems as well. And I don't think his base, while it's just huge, is nearly the size and strength that it once was. I think DeSantis is the up-and-comer. Lizzie, right now, how would you answer that question if you were eligible to vote?
Oh, gosh. That's hard because, I mean, if they would leave Trump alone and let him actually do what he wants to do instead of battling him the whole time, then I think I would be happy with Trump. But DeSantis is going to get in there. They're going to do the exact same thing that they did to Trump. So I don't know why people are delusional thinking that DeSantis is going to be able to get in there and change things. I'm sorry.
Well, I think based on the midterm results, we can see that DeSantis would be a much better choice for Republicans than Trump. Because I think the fact that Trump backed some of these candidates turned a lot of voters off. Very polarizing figures, we've said many times on this show. And there are people in this country who would never vote for Donald Trump, no matter who he's running against.
I don't like him slamming DeSantis, calling him DeSanctimonious and all of this, now saying just an average Republican governor. I don't think that plays well. A lot of texters earlier in the week said they didn't like hearing that from Trump, even though they like Trump. So what about it? Who do you think gives the Republicans the best shot at the White House in 2024? Trump or DeSantis? Text Don or text Ron to 23680, and we'll add up the votes all morning long. So stay tuned for the tallies and an update now on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando. Check of headlines right now. Volusia County, as we've been saying, dealing with what one official calls unprecedented damage from Nicole along the Volusia County coast. Now some 50 buildings, private homes, condos, hotels, all evacuated, some falling into the sea. Others, they fear, may be uninhabitable and have to be taken down. We've never seen anything like it, and we're talking about it with you here. Updates on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic, and the very latest headlines every 10 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA, this is Good Morning Orlando. Call us at 407-916-5400 or text us at 23680.
Good morning, Sky Roberts. Those are all fantastic ways to get a hold of us. But you can also go to the free iHeartRadio app and go to WFLA Orlando. Click the TalkBack feature, and you can tell us what you want, anything you want, for up to 30 seconds. But what we're asking is, how do you feel about Veterans Day, and do you have a vet that you want to honor? We want to hear the vet you want to honor on that TalkBack feature. It's on the free iHeartRadio app.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's a great idea from our Navy vet, Guy Roberts, our executive producer here. That's a great use of the talkback, and it's easy to do through the iHeartRadio app. Long-form texters are welcome at 23680 on any topic we're talking about. And the one-word texting poll is up all morning long. Who do you now think gives Republicans the best chance of winning the White House in 2024, Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis? Text Don or text Ron to 23680. We've asked versions of that question before a couple of times, and Trump has always won. But I noticed last time that the gap was closing with Ron DeSantis as he, you know, was developing a track record as governor. And I really do think that his management, first of all, of Ian, and now we'll see with Nicole for sure, has been exemplary. And I think that is one reason the way he handled this storm 6 weeks ago made the margin of victory over Charlie Crist much bigger than it might have been. Might have been 10 or 12 points, like the pollsters said, and it was nearly 20, as it turns out. And across party lines, people said, you know what, I may not agree with this guy and all of his policies and whatever, but I think he knows how to administer, and I think he knows how to make things work here, and that's what we need. So at any rate, having said all of that, I would have voted for Trump. We don't vote, and we can't vote in here. We would never do that. This is for you. But I would now vote for DeSantis. I think he is, as the New York Post cover said the other day, DeSantis de future. And, you know, with his young, vibrant family and with his, you know, clean as a whistle record, he's got a military background. We love that. And he's just done one heck of a job here in the state of Florida. And Trump is right. This is where everybody wants to live, but the weather's always been good. They're coming down here for the freedoms that Ron DeSantis has promoted and is protecting. I think there isn't any question about that. On the text line, though, you know, there is support for Trump here. Somebody says, you know what? What we need is Trump running as an independent. That's the best shots for Republicans to win in 2024. Gang, I don't see that happening, because if he were to run as an independent, he would inevitably split the conservative Republican vote and hand the White House to the Democrats, no matter who they ran. That just will not get it done, with all due respect. You know, some others are saying that, you know, it looks like the Democrats have won their war with Trump and gotten us out. You know, well, no, we're just talking about answering the question. You want the White House in 2024? That's what matters. Who gives us the best shot? Don or Ron? I say it's Ron. What say you? What else do we see here? Ron in Orlando says Ron DeSantis. Another as a new Floridian here, Ron. Another saying, Don can't win. He's become a bitter, rabid man. I voted for Trump, but he's so unprofessional and unpresidential now. A lot of people don't like the name-calling and the personal nastiness, Alan, you know, and I think it becomes less and less appealing along the way, and particularly when you rip into a guy in your own state that you really, you know, you should be friendly with.
Yeah, and Donald Trump has done that all along. I mean, from the very first start of his presidential campaign back in 2016 has been the name-calling and attacking people who oppose him, you know, demonizing them at every opportunity. And it's just continued now, and now he's attacking someone who, at least in Florida, is extremely popular.
Another on the text line, Republicans never work together. They always eat their own. Democrats stick together. Trump needs to work with DeSantis, not against. I absolutely believe that. You know, I grew up as a big fan of following the weather, and I became a weatherman in Syracuse, New York. Never a meteorologist, not in a league with all these fine broadcasters we have in local television who do a great job. I think Tom Terry is just incredible. I think Jamie King over at Fox 35 is just awesome, and the other ones are good too. But when I first came here in the 1980s, we first moved here, I was told that Volusia County was protected against hard hits from hurricanes, because if you look at the map, the Florida Peninsula there starts to slant up to the northwest, southeasterly kind of an alignment there, and the big Atlantic hurricanes would come up close and then skirt, and you'd be on the weak side of them in Volusia County and then go out to sea. What got the coast here this time is something different. A couple of storms that were not as powerful that came in from the west of Volusia County, and we're slow moving, and we're just pulling air hour after hour, in the case of Ian, day after day, in off the ocean, east winds slamming into the coast. And that is not what we would have seen if we had the coastal hurricanes that always skirted by Volusia County. And that was a fluky situation, not once but twice here. All the defenses of the dunes and the seawalls destroyed by Ian, and then it was open season for the east winds of Nicole. What a sad situation, and still very much in the news. Let's turn it over to Alan.
Yeah, picking up the pieces after Tropical Storm Nicole, that's our lead story, and an amazing discovery regarding the Space Shuttle Challenger. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
Good Friday morning and happy Veterans Day. We'll play What is a Veteran? Tradition here on WFLA for as long as I've been before this microphone, later in this half hour, and honor of all of you who are serving and have served this great country. We have a lot more coming up here. Gina's a business report and an incredible day on Wall Street yesterday, what lies ahead now. But now the news with my co-host Alan Spector, picking up where we left off, the heartbreaking scenes along particularly the Volusia County coast.
Yeah, but residents along Florida's east coast are in recovery mode after being battered by Tropical Storm Nicole.
Coastal erosion, large breaking surf, really beaches that were already vulnerable from Ian now taking some more damage from Nicole. There are a couple places where we're watching some structures, but we've got teams out there to support those things.
Brevard County Emergency Management Director John Scott says winds were clocked at 75 miles an hour, and a fourth of Brevard County's power customers lost power during the storm. Five deaths in Florida are related to Nicole. That includes two people electrocuted by a downed power line in Orange County. Today, Tropical Storm Nicole will soak the southeast, bringing much-needed rain to areas suffering from drought, but threatening lives and property elsewhere in the region, Trey Thomas reports.
Rainfall ranging from 2 to 4 inches is forecast from central and eastern Georgia to the western and central parts of the Carolinas, eastern Tennessee, southwestern Virginia, and southeastern Kentucky. Some areas could see an inch or two an hour, raising the threat of flooding. Forecasters say the greatest flood threat is in the Appalachians, where up to 8 inches of rain could fall. Trey Thomas, News Radio, WFLA, Orlando.
A large section of the ill-fated Space Shuttle Challenger has been found off the Florida coast. Tom Costello has more.
Divers from the History Channel looking for World War II plane wreckage off the Florida coast instead came across something they never expected. A 20-foot piece of an American tragedy.
The heat tiles gave divers their first clue. It was debris from the belly of a space shuttle. The Challenger's crew of seven was killed on January 28, 1986, when the shuttle exploded 73 seconds after liftoff. NASA says the crew's families have been told of the find. Under U.S. law, any space shuttle artifact must be returned to NASA. The Magic are back in action tonight, hosting Devin Booker and the Phoenix Suns. Orlando aims for its first winning streak of the season after knocking off Dallas on Wednesday. The Magic are 3-9 on the year. WFLA News Time is 6:34. You can win tickets to see Steve Martin and Martin Short at the Dr. Phillips Center. Just enter to win at WFLAOrlando.com.
Headlines right now, talking politics in the wake of the midterm. Senate Republican candidate Herschel Walker vowing to defeat Democrat incumbent Raphael Warnock in that Georgia runoff election on the 6th of December that may decide control of the Senate. Walker, the former college and NFL star, held a rally in Canton, Georgia, and said the campaign was in overtime and that he was built for this. The runoff is scheduled for December 6th, as I said. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories. Count on it here on Good Morning Orlando.
Money, real estate, investments. Learn from the pros, evenings and weekends. News Radio, WFLA Orlando.
Good morning and happy Friday. TGIF. You know, a great way to start your weekend would be winning $1,000. And we have your opportunity starting at 9 all the way through 5. 9 chances for you to win $1,000 in our inflation bonus cash contest. You're going to hear a keyword at the top of every hour. Once you hear it, you go to WFLAOrlando.com, enter it in, and you could win $1,000. And that's all brought to you by Mills Air.
Yeah. And the question on the table in just a moment here is, does money buy you happiness? A new study suggests, well, it does up to a point. Stay tuned on that front. We know that $1,000 you have a chance to win 9 times a day here. I think that'll bring some happiness to just about anybody. One word texting poll. Please vote if you haven't already. Who do you now think gives Republicans the best chance of winning the White House in 2024? Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis? Text Don or text Ron to 23680. So on the issue of whether or not, as has long been said, you know, money can't buy happiness, can it or can't it? There's a new study that is published this week by a journal known as the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. And it looked at the effects of giving 200 people a one-time sum of $10,000. Now, just imagine, you're given $10,000 to spend. You got to spend it all within 3 months any way you want. The money came from 2 anonymous wealthy donors, and it was distributed on PayPal through a partnership with an organization known as TED, T-E-D. Anyway, they recorded how happy people felt on a monthly basis. People kept a journal on it as they spent the $10,000 they were given. And there was also a control group of 100 people who did not get any money. The researchers measured happiness by having people rank how satisfied they were with their lives and how frequently they experienced positive feelings like happiness and negative feelings like sadness. The group that got $10,000 reported higher levels of happiness than those who did not after their 3 months of spending. Then after 3 more months had passed, the recipients still reported levels of happiness higher than when the experiment started. However, and I find this interesting, people with household incomes above $123,000 a year did not report noticeable improvements in their happiness. The findings indicated that participants from the low income, they did this worldwide, by the way, from low income countries gained 3 times as much happiness as those from high income countries. Kind of interesting. I what it says to me, and how do you all see it here on our team here in the studio and at home as well? You know, the more money you have, the less difference additional money makes. And if you don't have a lot of money and you're really strapped and $10,000 lands on your lap to spend as you want over a 3-month period, I can only imagine you'd be giddy over that, right?
Yeah, it's all relative, Bud. I mean, it's hard to generalize about this. It depends on people's individual situation as to what they're facing in terms of expenses. Someone could be making $123,000 a year, but maybe they've got $123,000 in debt.
Yeah, that's a good point, Alan.
They say money doesn't buy happiness, but if you give me a lot of money, I'm going to be pretty happy.
Well, there you go. Lizzie, what about it? Does money buy happiness, and does this study make any sense to you?
I think you should be happy within yourself and what you have at that moment before you get that big lump sum, because then how are you going to be able to appreciate it and spend it properly?
Well, we see so many cases where people who are wealthy, say celebrities who are rich, along with being famous, are unhappy.
True.
You know, some have very tragic endings to their lives because they cannot find happiness. And as I said, a lot more goes into this other than just what's in the bank account.
Points.
Good point.
Well taken, gang. Yep. Yeah. I just found that interesting, and I just wanted to know what my mates thought about it here. Lots coming in here, a lot of the long-form texts on the question as to whether or not Trump or DeSantis gives the Republicans the best chance of winning the White House in 2024. Who do you think gives us the best chance, the Republicans? Text Don or Ron to 23680. Steve texts in, Americans have historically elected mediocre leaders with good PR skills, like Bush 1, Bush 2, Bill Clinton. Similar to Trump, Barack Obama had amazing PR skills and an excellent leader with a portion of Americans. Joe Biden, just an angry old man with a script and a megaphone. Let me see. Oh, the main job of politicians, another texter says, is to manage public perceptions. Trump has failed that by his personality, creating much emotional backlash, whether fair or unfairly. He's become unelectable to persuadable voters. While Ron has demonstrated outstanding presidential characteristics and leadership, I voted for Trump twice, but no more. And another on Trump ripping DeSantis and calling him again an average governor and disanctimonious again. Trump should listen to another Ronald Reagan. I remember his 11th commandment, which was, thou shalt not speak ill of another Republican. In a moment, we'll add up the tally on the one-word texting poll. Who do you now think gives Republicans the best chance of winning the White House in 2024? Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis? Just text Don or text Ron to 23680. We'll also honor our veterans with a traditional playing of my narration of What is a Veteran? It's all coming up. Stay with us after an update of Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. We're back at it here on Veterans Day. Headlines for you now. Internationally, President Biden on his way to Egypt to discuss climate change with other world leaders. Biden is expected to tell the summit that U.S. efforts to fight climate change will not fall off despite changes in Congress. Biden's trip will conclude in Southeast Asia, in Indonesia specifically, the middle of next week. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes under top stories throughout the morning on Good Morning Orlando.
For the smartest audience in talk radio, this is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Ah, that's right. Don't worry. It's Guy Roberts. You know that radio station you love? WFLA Orlando. Guess what? It's on the free iHeartRadio app. You know that artist you love listening to? They're all on the free iHeartRadio app. And also the podcasts everyone's talking about, just like ours and Alan's elsewhere, it's all on the free iHeartRadio app. Download the free iHeartRadio app today.
Alan, have you got the one-word texting poll out there for folks just joining us? Because we're going to update the vote here in a couple of minutes.
Yeah. Who gives Republicans the best chance of winning the White House in 2024? Ron DeSantis or Donald Trump? Text Don or Ron to 23680.
And right now, I get requests for this all the time throughout the year, and we play it on patriotic holidays. Once again here, as we salute our veterans, my narration from years ago of What is a Veteran?
What is a veteran? Some veterans bear visible signs of their service. A missing limb, a jagged scar, a certain look in their eye. Others may carry the evidence inside them. A pin holding a bone together, a piece of shrapnel in the leg, or perhaps another sort of inner steel. The soul's ally forged in the refinery of adversity. Except in parades, however, the men and women who have kept America safe bear no badge or emblem. You can't tell a vet just by looking. What is a vet? He is the cop on the beat who spent 6 months in Saudi Arabia sweating 2 gallons a day, making sure the armored personnel carriers didn't run out of fuel. He is the barroom loudmouth, dumber than five wooden planks, whose overgrown frat boy behavior is outweighed 100 times in the cosmic scales by 4 hours of exquisite bravery near the 38th parallel. She or he is the nurse who fought against futility and went to sleep sobbing every night for 2 solid years in Da Nang. He is the POW who went away one person and came back another, or didn't come back at all. He is the Quantico drill instructor who has never seen combat, but has saved countless lives by turning slouchy, no-account rednecks and gang members into Marines and teaching them to watch each other's backs. He is the parade-riding legionnaire who pins on his ribbons and medals with a prosthetic hand. He is the career quartermaster who watches the ribbons and medals pass him by. He is the three anonymous heroes in the Tomb of the Unknowns, whose presence at the Arlington National Cemetery must forever preserve the memory of all the anonymous heroes whose valor dies unrecognized with them on the battlefield or in the ocean's sunless deep. He is the old guy bagging groceries at the supermarket, palsied now and aggravatingly slow, who helped liberate a Nazi death camp and who wishes all day long that his wife were still alive to hold him when the nightmares come. He is an ordinary and yet extraordinary human being, a person who offered some of his life's most vital years in the service of his country, and who sacrificed his ambition so others would not have to sacrifice theirs. He is a soldier and a savior and a sword against the darkness, and he is nothing more than the finest, greatest testimony on behalf of the finest, the greatest nation ever known. So remember, each time you see someone who has served our country, just lean over and say,
thank you.
That's all most people need. And in most cases, it will mean more than any medals they could have been awarded or were awarded. Two little words that mean a lot. Thank you.
We'll give What is a Veteran another play later in the show, and half an hour from now we'll play, as we do every Veterans Day, Freedom Isn't Free, because, you know, it's the soldier who protects and guards our great freedoms here, without which we have nothing as Americans. And so we salute all of our veterans who are serving and have served in the United States military. And I can't think of a better announcement to make coming off this piece, What is a Veteran, than to tell you we have a very special guest we are honored to have with us in the next half hour, Chelsea Porterfield, who is the first woman ever honored with the great honor of guarding the tomb of the unknown soldier. She has quite a story to tell, and she'll be here, and she'll be here with us in 10 to 15 minutes. And we are looking forward to talking with Sergeant First Class Chelsea Porterfield. She is quite a lady and a patriot, and what an extraordinary career she has had, young as she still is. So we have this one-word texting poll. Guy, you want to pop that out there and then give us the count that is ongoing until we sign off at 9 o'clock?
Who do you think now gives Republicans the best chance of winning the White House in 2024? Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis? We want you to text Don or text Ron to 23680. And so far, Don has 20. Ron has 55.
That's the first time DeSantis has led Trump on a question we've asked in a very, very similar wording other times now. We thought we should update it after the midterms and all the ramifications of the way things have turned out in Florida and around the nation here. Very, very interesting. So we can we'll keep the voting open on that. In the meantime, lots to do. We have the Chelsea Porterfield interview that you don't want to miss coming up in the next half hour, and a whole lot beyond that. Happy Veterans Day, one and all. Let's turn it over to my co-host, Alan Spector, for a preview of your 7 o'clock news.
Florida's East Coast in recovery mode following Nicole, and a dominant running game steals the show on Thursday Night Football. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeartRadio station.
Good morning, Orlando, and a happy Veterans Day to you. And on a Friday morning at 7 o'clock, it's time to update you once again on Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic here and now on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540, and on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, Nicole leaves Florida's East Coast battered. More in 1 minute.
And on this Veterans Day, we talk live in a moment with Chelsea Porterfield, first woman to guard the tomb of the unknown soldier, here on Good Morning Orlando.
7:01 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. Nicole is blamed for 5 deaths here in Florida. The Orange County Sheriff's Office says the tropical storm knocked down a power line in Conway, electrocuting 2 people yesterday. A man and woman apparently came into contact with the line at Bayfront Parkway and Pershing Avenue. A car crash on the Florida Turnpike killed 2 people. And in Brevard County, the Cocoa Police Department says a 68-year-old man died on his yacht during the peak of the storm early yesterday when the boat broke free of the dock and drifted out to sea. Unprecedented is the word Volusia County officials are using to describe damage to structures along the coast after the double whammy of Hurricane Ian and now Tropical Storm Nicole. 6 weeks later, County Manager George Rechtenwald.
We have preliminary assessment reports of 11 compromised structures in Daytona Beach Shores and over by the sea. Unfortunately, we anticipate more structures will be identified as compromised as these inspections continue.
Nicole also washed out roads and bridges in Volusia County and other parts of the state. Governor Ron DeSantis says they'll get them open as soon as possible.
We have 250 Florida Department of Transportation crews that are ready to deploy and begin damage assessment, bridge inspections, and cut and toss operations to clear roadways as is necessary.
600 members of the Florida National Guard have been activated, and 7 urban search and rescue teams are ready to respond if needed. The midterm election voting was done on Tuesday, but Fox's Jill Nato reports when it comes to U.S. Senate races, there's no stopping the counting.
In Nevada, thousands of votes yet to be counted in the contest between Republican Adam Laxalt and Democratic incumbent Senator Catherine Cortez Masto. In Arizona, they're still counting votes in the race between Democratic incumbent Senator Mark Kelly and Republican Blake Masters. Bill Gates of the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors says workers are putting in the time.
They are already working 14 to 18 hours a day.
And as for Georgia, Republican Herschel Walker and Democratic incumbent Senator Raphael Warnock are back to campaigning ahead of their runoff election next month. Jill Nato, Fox News.
President Biden will begin an international trip by heading climate talks in Egypt today. He left the nation's capital last night. Biden is expected to affirm that efforts to fight climate change will not fall off as previously twice before when Democrats lost power. On Thursday Night Football, Foreman rushed for 130 yards and a touchdown as the Panthers rolled past the Falcons 25-15 at Charlotte. Laviska Shenault Jr. also provided a 41-yard rushing score for Carolina. Panthers head coach Steve Wilks.
Offensively, I thought we did a tremendous job. We rushed for 232. Foreman had 130 yards rushing off 31 carries. I think that's very impressive.
Carolina improved to 3-7. Atlanta drops to 4-6. WFLA News Time is 7:05. A Wheel of Fortune contestant makes an outrageous guess, and Pat Sajak doesn't let him live it down. That story is online at WFLAOrlando.com. That's where you can win tickets to Trans-Siberian Orchestra at the Amway Center next month. The second hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
Follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at WFLA Orlando.
That Gator fight song. Thanks for rolling it, Lizzie. I always get excited. It's time to kick back for a great sports weekend here on News Radio WFLA, where we bring you all the Gator games. Tonight is Gator basketball versus Kennesaw State. Pre-game at 6 p.m., 6:15. Make that 6:30 p.m. I'm taking bids. No, it's 6:30 p.m. with a tip-off at 7 o'clock tonight.
Sold in America.
Thank you, and to the high bidder, Alan Spector. Perhaps you'd like to bid on the football game tomorrow against South Carolina at the Swamp. Saturday, we got a 1 p.m. pregame and a 4 p.m. kickoff. Go Gators! And happy Veterans Day, one and all. Robert from Oviedo texts in, wow, bud, that what a veteran narration. What a great summary of veteran service to America. More to come on that front. And in just a moment, we are going to connect live with a great patriot, a young woman by the name of Chelsea Porterfield, who is the first woman ever honored by being allowed to guard the tomb of the unknown soldier at Arlington National Cemetery, which opened 101 years ago today. So we're going to head in that direction. But if you're just joining us, we have an up and running one word texting poll here. And this is it. We want you to vote if you haven't already. Who do you now think gives Republicans the best chance of winning the White House in 2024, Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis? Text Don or text Ron to 23680. Lots of great takes on the text line here. That's 23680. The phone line is 407-916-5400. We love to talk. And on the iHeartRadio app, you can create your own narration and commentary up to 30 seconds by making a talkback on the iHeartRadio app. And
yeah,
there we are.
And, Bud, I'd like to salute Guy and Lizzie for their efforts in counting these votes, because they show up on our text line. And you've given our listeners the choice of Don or Ron, which look very much alike.
Oh, it does.
And I'm sure it's been a bit difficult weeding through Don and Ron to figure out who's in the lead here.
Oh, don't tell me we're going to have to go into recounts. There'll be charges of voter fraud. Yep. I can hear it now.
Flashbacks of hanging chads.
Mm. You can't trust that text line here. It's worse than all of those mail-in ballots. Uh-oh. I see trouble ahead. Right now, we have an update on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic coming up in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando. It's 7:08. Headlining a couple of the Veterans Day events that are happening today or coming up this weekend in the heart of Central Florida, the Orange County Veterans Day ceremony occurs at 201 South Rosalind Avenue today, headed by Mayor Jerry Demings from 11 till 11:30. And the City of Orlando 23rd Annual Veterans Day Parade steps off downtown at Orange Avenue around Rosalind and Central Avenues, and that is at 11 o'clock tomorrow, Saturday, the 12th of November. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories all morning here on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, News Radio WFLA Orlando, and still on AM 540.
As the caissons go rolling along, the U.S. Army song here, a very appropriate for our very special guest this morning. We want to welcome Sergeant First Class from the United States Army, Chelsea Porterfield, who among many accomplishments is the first woman ever to serve as the Sergeant of the Guard for the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Sergeant Porterfield, thank you for your service. Welcome to Good Morning Orlando here on News Radio WFLA, where we are freedom-loving Americans, as we know you to be as well. Great to have you with us this morning.
Thank you for having me this morning.
We can't wait to get the rest of the story from you about how this incredible honor came to be and what it is like to guard the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. I'll be joined by Alan and Guy, who's our Navy veteran on the team here. And good morning, Orlando. But you served in Iraqi freedom. You were part of a grenade launch team 20 years ago, enduring freedom in Afghanistan on your military resume. You work with our NATO troops, training them in Europe as an Army drill sergeant, guarding and protecting the likes of General Petraeus. You were in the Pacific Theater in Hawaii, training military police. You met the man who became your husband. You together, and you have multiple awards, the Bronze Star, and more military service medals than I could possibly count. You are so extraordinarily accomplished here. So how did the incredible honor come to be, and what is it like to guard the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier?
It's a sobering experience for sure. I think that it's a deep reminder every day when you step foot on the plaza before the general public gets there that those individuals that are interred on the plaza likely served under the draft, and they still went and defended America for what it is, for a deep sense of patriotic values. And we still today, with everything that's going on, there are veterans out there that are still filling up their patriotic cup and protecting what America is in various ways, in various locations, to include Ukraine, to include, you know, the Middle East, some of them on their own, some of them through their private companies, you know. So I think all the veterans out there now are doing those unknown justice by still serving in those capacities. But what it's like to see an honor flight lined up around the chains, standing up in their wheelchairs to salute the unknowns, you know, that's probably my favorite.
Yeah, I've been part of an honor flight, too, and that that very special period of time when we not only see all the great memorials to those who have served in this country, when we attend the the guarding of the tomb of the unknown soldier, and it is an extraordinary event for all of us, and particularly those aging veterans. Let's bring Alan Spector into the conversation.
Yeah, Sergeant Porterfield, first, happy Veterans Day. And I wanted to ask you how it came to pass that you became assigned to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier as the first woman. It seems like I'm surprised it took this long for a woman to be assigned to this particular monument. How did it happen for you?
So at first I applied for the 3rd Infantry Regiment first, and I was assigned there, the regiment as a whole, in December 2017. And as I got to the regiment, there's a ceremonial process that you go through for certification. And so I went through that. And the 3rd Infantry Regiment has a lot of other missions. And I was very inspired by all of the missions that they held and that they conducted and executed, you know, the escort platoon in Arlington National Cemetery, the firing party, the casket or the casket bear, the casket barrier, sorry, the caisson, the cordon teams that go out to the White House, some of the other elements that escort in the National Capital Region, you know, the Dover missions for dignified transfers. All of these missions are executed by the old guard, the 3rd Infantry Regiment. So once I got into the regiment, I started working towards those missions and understanding how to fulfill those execution duties. And it came down by chance that this position was coming open, and I was asked to try for it. And at first, I was like, oh, no. I don't know that I will do that position justice. You know, that's a very honorable position. Not that I'm not honorable, but I don't know that. I will try, though. I will absolutely try and give it my best. And
we are sure that you are. We'd love to continue our conversation in just a moment on this Veterans Day with our special guest, Sergeant First Class Chelsea Porterfield, among many things, the first woman ever to serve as the Sergeant of the Guard for the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. As we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in a very quick 2 minutes here, happy Veterans Day, one and all. This headline, if it is joining us, the race for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination off to an explosive start. Former President Donald Trump releasing a statement yesterday, again criticizing Governor Ron DeSantis, calling DeSantis just an average governor, and again referring to him as Ron DeSanctimonious. Vote in our one-word texting poll. Who do you now think gives the Republicans the best chance of winning the White House in 2024, Trump or DeSantis? Text Don or Ron to 23680. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories throughout the morning on Good Morning Orlando.
Feel like chiming in? Call us at 407-916-5400 or text us at 23680. This is Good Morning Orlando on News Radio WFLA.
Good morning and welcome back to Good Morning Orlando. We are currently on the phone with Sergeant First Class Chelsea Porterfield, the first woman to guard the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And Sergeant Porterfield, what exactly is the regiment, and how strict is it that leads up to your post?
The regiment is it's the 3rd Infantry Regiment. It's a regiment-sized element. There's 2 battalions. The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier is just a platoon-sized element that occupies that space in Arlington National Cemetery. The training that it takes to become a tomb guard can take up to 12 months before you're completely done with training. It could be done in as little as 6 months. Some have done it quicker. It is a 5-test testing phase, encompassing 3 pillars, and each pillar becomes smaller and smaller on room of error. So the margin of error is smaller as you go along. It is an OJT process all the way through.
What does that mean?
on the job training. So
Got it.
You're being taught everything as you go along, and testing is room for minimal error. So the measurements between error of your uniform is 1/64 of an inch for discrepancy, I guess you can say. That's just an example of uniform measurements for your accoutrements.
Alan, do you have a final question for Sergeant First Class Chelsea Porterfield? Is Alan with us? If not, I have a question. And the question is this. I mean, how difficult is it to do this? It is such a long a process of guarding the tomb and walking so precisely back and forth. I mean, what kind of mental and physical discipline does that take?
I'll simplify it this way. This is what I used to say while I was down there. Everything is controlled by your brain. The people and the soldiers that want to come down there for various reasons, whether it's altruistic or not, end up self-selecting. So when you're asked to be still for the sake, or when you're asked to be stoic, or when you're being perfect in a way, you literally control your body with your brain. Your arm is attached to your brain, so don't move it. That was my NCO way of putting it to junior soldiers that would come down.
Well, I'll tell you, what a crowning achievement to be selected to be the first woman ever, and Alan's right, that's way overdue, to guard the tomb of the unknown soldier. We know how you take it so seriously, and we salute you for this and for your exemplary service over more than 20 years to the United States of America, and a very happy Veterans Day once again, Sergeant First Class Chelsea Porterfield. Thank you for joining us on the Veterans Day edition of Good Morning Orlando.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a great, great privilege. And I know Chelsea knows what so many who serve know, in a way that the rest of us can never know, that as the narrative says, freedom isn't free.
I watched the flag pass by one day. It fluttered in the breeze. A young Marine saluted it, and then he stood at ease. I looked at him in uniform, so young, so tall, so proud. With hair cut square and eyes alert, he'd stand out in any crowd. I thought how many men like him had fallen through the years, how many died on foreign soil, how many mothers' tears, how many pilots' planes shot down, how many died at sea. How many foxholes were soldiers' graves? No, freedom isn't free. I heard the sound of taps one night when everything was still. I listened to the bugler play and felt a sudden chill. I wondered just how many times the taps had meant amen when a flag had draped a coffin of a brother or a friend. I thought of all the children, of the mothers and the wives, of fathers, sons, and husbands with interrupted lives. I thought about a graveyard at the bottom of the sea, of unmarked graves in Arlington. No, freedom isn't free.
More Veterans Day tributes coming up here on this special edition of Good Morning Orlando as we honor our veterans on Veterans Day 2022. To Alan now for a news preview.
Nicole still causing problems today, and Brevard County getting the power back. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together and elsewhere in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
Bottom of the 7 o'clock hour here on this Veterans Day on News Radio WFLA, as in we're freedom-loving Americans, just as we know you patriots are. An update now from my colleague and our co-host, Alan Spector, on the news as we continue to focus on the aftermath of Tropical Storm Nicole.
Yeah, Tropical Storm and former Hurricane Nicole now downgraded to a Tropical Depression this morning. It's continuing north past Florida, now into Georgia and the Carolinas. Fox Weather's Will Nunley reports from Charleston.
For a second morning in a row, Tacola's on the move. The center of circulation going to be in Georgia today, so places like Atlanta, Savannah, again with Charleston, you're going to have a rough commute as more of this system continues to impact the eastern part of our country. Anywhere from 3 to 5 deaths still being officially attributed to this storm. Multiple structures. We understand at least a dozen structures in Daytona, the area alone, are being deemed unsafe at this point. They're going to have to go back and inspect, and these are large condo buildings, to make sure that they are safe for residents to return. Meanwhile, numerous buildings and structures such as boardwalks were toppling into the ocean yesterday as Nicole continued to move ashore.
Hurricane force winds likely contributed to the high number of power outages reported in Brevard County as Nicole moved through. At one point, 77,000 customers lost power, about one-fourth of Brevard County's total.
FPL is getting crews out there as fast as they can. As those winds begin to lift, they'll be able to get more and more crews out there. They are very aggressively attacking any sort of power lines and those kinds of things.
Brevard Emergency Management Director John Scott says Brevard's 75 miles of beaches did take a significant pounding from Nicole. There's more coastal erosion and weakened structures are being monitored. Flights are running again at Orlando International Airport. OIA resumed domestic arrivals last night. Full flight operations are starting this morning. Almost 1,500 flights were canceled the last couple of days. Airport officials say storm damage to facilities and infrastructure was minimal. Elon Musk is warning employees that Twitter could go bankrupt. Michael Kastner reports.
The new head of the social media company spoke with employees in a mass call Thursday and warned that Twitter could lose billions of dollars next year and said he could not rule out bankruptcy. Earlier in the day, Musk reportedly said in a company-wide email that Twitter would not be able to survive an upcoming economic downturn if it fails to boost subscription revenue. Three top executives at Twitter turned in their resignations on Thursday. The Federal Trade Commission says it's watching the company with deep concern. I'm Michael Kastner.
In college football action tomorrow, Florida hosts South Carolina. Pre-game at 1, kickoff at 4 here on your Gator Nation station. FSU visits Syracuse, Miami visits Georgia Tech, UCF is at Tulane, and South Florida hosts SMU. WFLA News Time is 7:34. Elsewhere. Streaming giant Netflix is getting ready to go live.
It's alive!
Netflix is confirming that Chris Rock will debut a comedy special live early next year. The company said Rock is the first artist to have the distinction of live streaming on Netflix, and the performance will be available worldwide. Some of Netflix's rivals are already active in the live streaming game. Disney Plus live streamed the Oscar nominations last February, and others are focusing heavily on sports, including NFL games on Amazon Prime Video, Thursday Night Football, and Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV Plus.
I've always liked Chris Rock. He's pretty funny.
Yes, I enjoy Chris Rock, too, and I don't enjoy him getting slapped by Will Smith. I'm
not a fan of Will Smith.
No, not these days.
No.
This episode of Elsewhere is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Yeah, it is. The famous Rockefeller Center Christmas tree will be put up tomorrow after it was cut down yesterday morning. There it goes.
Timber!
Stand back. Officials picked an 82-foot-tall Norway spruce from the upstate New York community of Queensbury in Warren County. It was donated by the Leibowitz family in Glens Falls. Leibowitz. Sounds pretty Christmassy, doesn't it?
I've always wanted to go there and see it light up.
Yeah, well, this particular tree is believed to be about 85 to 90 years old. And speaking of lighting it up, guys, some 50,000 LED lights will shine on the tree when it is lit during the annual tree lighting ceremony on November 30th.
It's a lot of lights.
It's very Leibowitz. Observant of you. Yes.
Leibowitz clearing out anything that might be looking like a Christmas tree. You got to get them out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
Get this thing off my land, will you?
Oy vey! And finally, Traffic was disrupted in the Tampa Bay area yesterday thanks to... Yeah, cow. The Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office responded to the vicinity of Adamo Drive and the Selman Expressway after getting a report of a runaway cow. There it goes. There it goes. You know, it took them about an hour to get a hold of the cow. I didn't know cows were that fast. Deputies say they're not sure who owns the cow or how it got loose.
Milkshakes all around this morning.
Find more on these stories on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com. Listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just look for Elsewhere. With Alan Spector, and we got more of Good Morning Orlando on the way after an update of news, weather, and traffic in just 2 minutes.
Look at headlines for you right now. Democrat Mary Pertola has emerged victorious in the race for Alaska's lone congressional seat. The final ballot counts released last night show Pertola leading with a little over 47% of the vote. Her closest challenger, Republican Sarah Palin, second place, 27% of the vote. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
News, weather, and traffic for the smartest audience in talk radio. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Good morning, Sky Roberts here, and you can't deny it, you can't hide from it, but if you love it, you know the holiday season is here, and we have the perfect soundtrack with I Heart Christmas. It's all your favorite holiday music for decorating, maybe your shopping, gathering friends and family, plus it's all commercial free. You can download the free iHeartRadio app now and search Christmas and listen. We put all your music, radio stations, and podcasts in one easy-to-use app, and we made it completely free. Why? Because you have other things to do with your money.
Yep, you bet you do. Hey, good luck on that. Now, here we are, our one-word texting poll. We want you to vote. We're going to give you the latest tally, top of the hour, final tally, just before we leave the air at 9 o'clock this morning. In the wake of the midterms here, Trump and DeSantis are going at it here. At least Trump has given DeSantis a hard time, criticized him again yesterday. Ron DeSanctimonious called him an average governor. Not hearing anything from DeSantis criticizing Trump, but nevertheless, they are the two giants in the Republican Party looking ahead to the 2024 presidential race. So our one-word texting poll is this. Who do you now think gives Republicans the best chance of winning the White House in 2024? Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis? Text Don or text Ron to 23680. Into the Florida file right now. And speaking of our governor, remember when he took the bold and maybe unique move of going around the state and endorsing school board candidates that shared his conservative views and his views on having parents have some control of their education and having education be focused, you know, on the academics of it all. Not a place to resolve social issues or issues of sexual identity or whatever it happens to be, reading, writing, and arithmetic. And all of this, and if we could, and he would endorse candidates for school boards, because so many of them are run by a bunch of liberals. And it's turned education upside down in the state of Florida. DeSantis says, we're going to flip it back the way it ought to be. Guess what? He did not come to the Central Florida area to endorse school board candidates, but we did get a conservative on the Orange County School Board, Alicia Ferrant, who won her runoff contest. So that was good, but other conservatives could have won here in Central Florida if DeSantis had come here to endorse them. And I'm telling you, this is going to be a great thing moving forward. But he endorsed six school board candidates, a lot of them in South Florida. And what's his record on this? Every single one of them won their race. Isn't that amazing? Cindy Spray is one of them over in Manatee County. She says the support I got from Governor DeSantis is what put us over the edge. His view of how we need to stay back to the basics of education aligned with what I had viewed. And, of course, my grandchildren, too. You have kids in school. You want to make sure that we're getting the education system that we're actually expecting from the public schools back to the basics and supporting parental rights. Went on to say, we're going to do the right thing now, and we're going to give the parent the choice that they want and just continue to run on his platform, DeSantis's, and work on his platform after we are sworn in. 6 for 6 on endorsing school board candidates there. Pretty impressive, I think. You know, we have the Orlando Sentinel here. The Orlando Sentinel is definitely no question about that being a liberal newspaper, but even more so is its cousin, the Sun Sentinel, that serves South Florida. Did you see what happened this week in the wake of the midterms? They showed their liberal stripes, denouncing the state of Florida in the wake of the big red wave led by Governor DeSantis as a crimson hellscape. A crimson hellscape is what Florida had become. They wrote in their editorial, the Sun Sentinel, after Tuesday's stunning election results, the state's political transformation is now nearly complete, from deep purple battleground to crimson hellscape, an ideal launching pad for Governor DeSantis's presidential aspirations. Later on, quietly, with no explanation or notice, the Sun Sentinel changed the word hellscape to landscape. So it's a crimson landscape with the big red wave. Sounds to me like they might have had quite a meeting of the powers that be at the Sun Sentinel gang, don't you think?
Either that or they found out that Crimson Hellscape was already trademarked by a rock band.
Is that true, Mr. Music? Is that right?
No.
Get out of here. What is, you had me. You had me because you know that stuff.
But it sounds like it could be a great rock band name, Crimson Hellscape.
It does. It does. But apparently there might be somebody there who realizes that southeastern Florida, and this is a struggling newspaper like all the newspapers right now, might want to continue hanging on to what readers it has, and Miami-Dade just turned red, you know, and maybe we're out of step with the changing politics of our customers for our left-wing rag of a newspaper.
Well, you know, so you talk about changing times. The Orlando Sentinel first got its nickname Slantinel back in the 60s when it was a very conservative newspaper.
Now, you see, I wasn't here that far back, and you were. You grew up here. You went to Boone High, the whole deal. That's it. They got the Slantinel name because back then it was to the right. Now it's to the left.
Extremely right-wing, yeah.
Wow. When did that change? Because it was left-wing when I got here in the mid-'80s.
Well, I think when was it the Chicago Tribune that bought the Sentinel at some point? I think when a big company like that came in, that's when the attitude changed.
Yeah. More on the Florida file here in just a moment. The University of Florida, despite protests from the liberal students and faculty, now has a conservative university president, the former Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse. We'll have that story after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando, here on Veterans Day at 7:48. Headlines, tropical storm Nicole ravaged Florida. Now it's downgraded to a tropical depression that is soaking the southeast today, but that's not such a bad thing there. It's bringing much-needed rain to areas suffering from drought. Also, of course, though, threatening lives and property in the region. Rainfall ranging from 2 to 4 inches. Forecast from Georgia to Kentucky. Some areas could see an inch or two an hour, raising the threat of flooding. And there's going to be rain from Nicole all the way into the northeast in New England this weekend. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories throughout the morning on Good Morning Orlando.
The latest news and a place to talk about it. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. This is Lizzie Steele, and I heard a rumor, but I think it's true. WFLA Orlando is giving away $1,000 Monday through Friday starting at 9 a.m.
You're just picking up on that?
Oh.
We can confirm that. What do you have on that, Lizzie?
Well, I hear that we're going to be giving away, you know, $1,000 with a keyword. So whenever you hear that keyword, go to WFLAOrlando.com and enter the keyword there.
And thank you to Mills Air for sponsoring that.
Good deal. Hey, we haven't voted yet. You haven't voted yet, have you? On the one-word texting poll? A lot of you have, but a lot of you have not, and maybe you're just joining us. So get in on the balloting. We'll have an update coming up here in a couple of minutes with Guy. Who do you now think gives Republicans the best chance of winning the White House in 2024? Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis? Text Don or text Ron to 23680. Back into the Florida file we go. You remember, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, we ran some really ugly sound of protests at the University of Florida in Gainesville. Nasty, profane protests by students and really ugly protests and votes of no confidence being taken by the faculty against the man selected as the president of the University of Florida, the conservative retiring United States Senator from Nebraska, Ben Sasse, a really classy, smart guy with a lot of contacts who I think is going to be just great for the University of Florida. Well, here's the update on this. The Ben Sasse has been confirmed as the next president of the University of Florida. Members of the State University System's Board of Governors that takes the vote on these things, the final vote, defended Sasse amid all of these student and faculty opposition. These protests here, which was nothing more than politics, because he's a conservative. They don't like him. All right. They want a liberal, just like a lot of them are liberal, the students and the faculty at the University of Florida and at universities all across the country. They're going to pay him $1 million a year base salary for 5 years, a bonus plan in place there. At any rate, one of the members of the Board of Governors said of Sasse, he is a game changer. Here's the quote. Dr. Sasse is a workhorse, a lifelong learner, a community builder, an intelligence expert, a child of agricultural upbringing, a scholar, a teacher, a public servant, an optimist, and a relatable human person at the same time. He holds a bachelor's degree from Harvard, a doctorate from Yale. He previously worked as a professor at the University of Texas. He spent 5 years as president of Midland University, a small private school in Nebraska. So he has experience running a college, okay? First elected to the Senate in 2014, he pledges to the board that he will not engage in partisan politics while he leads the state's flagship university. Do you think the dust is going to settle among the liberal students and faculty in Gainesville, or are they just going to be on him every step of the way, gang? What do you think?
Well, I think they should take note of the fact that Ben Sasse, although being a Republican, was a frequent critic of Donald Trump.
Yeah, so it can't be all bad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not exactly going to be a crimson hellscape in Gainesville.
Anyway, amazing. Very, very interesting there. That is the Florida file. And on this Veterans Day, 1 hour to go here on our special edition here of the show, which will include another playing of my narrative of what is a veteran. And also, we're going to be talking about Trump versus DeSantis, as already focus is being placed on the 2024 presidential race in the wake of what happened on the midterms that we have talked about a great deal. So, right in the heart of all of that, the one-word texting poll. Guy, pop it out there, particularly for the folks just joining us on the show, and give us the latest voting, if you will.
Who do you think now gives the Republicans the best chance of winning the White House in 2024? Would that be Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis? You can text Don or text Ron to 23680. And so far, Don has 35, Ron has 85.
Very interesting. Let's see. It was 55 to 20 for Ron. It's 7 o'clock, and that's 85-35 here. So, I don't know. Still, it's different than we've seen before. DeSantis was closing the gap when we asked this question the last time, but it was still Trump, and it was really Trump the first time we asked it. Now it's really Ron DeSantis. Let's get into that in the conversation here in the next hour. But in the meantime, let's get up to date on what else is going on out there. And the man for that, of course, is my co-host, Alan Spector.
Nicole leaves Florida's East Coast battered, and it was an NFC South battle on Thursday Night Football. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart radio station.
Good morning, Orlando, and happy Veterans Day. 8 o'clock on a Friday morning as we update you once again on Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando. On FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540. And on the iHeartRadio app, I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, Florida's East Coast in recovery mode following Nicole. More in 1 minute.
Talking Trump and DeSantis. Who do we want in the White House in 2024? Who's the one more likely to get the Republicans there? Let's talk on Good Morning Orlando.
8:02 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. Governor Ron DeSantis has expanded a state of emergency to all Florida counties in the aftermath of Tropical Storm Nicole.
You do have downed trees, you have power lines, you have some road washouts, combined winds and storm surge. We've seen beach erosion, especially in areas that had already seen erosion from Hurricane Ian.
And a prime example of what the governor was talking about can be found in Volusia County, where the coastline got walloped by Ian. Then 6 weeks later, it was Nicole, the result.
The structural damage along our coastline is unprecedented. We've never experienced anything like this before, so we ask your patience as we make our assessments. Your safety is our top priority.
Volusia County Manager George Rechtenwald says 11 structures in Daytona Beach Shores and Wilbur-by-the-Sea have been found to be compromised, with more expected as assessments continue. Rechtenwald says a building might look safe, but there could be underlying foundation damage that might not be visible. Five deaths in Florida are being tied to Nicole. The Orange County Sheriff's Office says the storm knocked down a power line in Conway, electrocuting two people yesterday. Two other people died in a car crash on the Florida Turnpike. And in Cocoa, a 68-year-old man died on his yacht when it broke free during the peak of the storm. It looks like the race for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination is off to an explosive start. Former President Donald Trump released a statement yesterday criticizing Governor DeSantis. Trump called DeSantis an average governor, and he again referred to him as Ron DeSanctimonious. Georgia Senate Republican candidate Herschel Walker is already firing up his runoff campaign against Democrat incumbent Raphael Warnock. The former NFL star held a rally in Canton, Georgia, speaking to supporters for the first time since election night.
They said we're in overtime. We're in overtime. That means we got a runoff. Hey, I was built for this. I was built for this.
Voters in Georgia go to the polls once again December 6th to decide if Walker or Warnock wins. And on Thursday Night Football, the Panthers used a strong running game to beat the Falcons on a rain-soaked field in Charlotte.
Carolina racked up 232 yards rushing, and the Panthers' defense sacked Atlanta quarterback Marcus Mariota five times in the Panthers' 25-15 victory Thursday. Deontay Foreman ran for 130 yards and a touchdown, and Laviska Shenault also had a rushing score for Carolina. Mariota threw a pair of touchdowns for the Falcons, but also was under 200 yards passing with an interception. With the win, the Panthers improved to 3-7, while the Falcons dropped to 4-6. But because they play in football's worst division, the NFC South, both are very much in the race for the division crown, just behind the first place Bucks, who are 4-5 heading into their game Sunday against the Seahawks. I'm Eric Messersmith, Fox News.
WFLA News Time is 8:05. A former WWE superstar makes a comeback in AEW after what was a career-ending injury. That story is online at WFLAOrlando.com. You're 1 hour away from your first chance of the day to win $1,000. Just keep listening. The third hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
Quick wit and compelling perspectives. Glenn Beck, 9 till noon. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
A On this Veterans Day 2022, we're saluting all the branches of the services as we listen to the Marine hymn. Gonna love it. Gonna love all of you who have served and are serving in the armed forces of the United States of America. Bud Hettinger, Allen Specter, Guy Roberts, our Navy veteran, and Lizzie Steele. We're patriots, one and all, and we know you are as well. As I've long said, WFLA stands for We're Freedom Loving Americans. Welcome, one and all. Lots of events for veterans, lots of discounts and deals from restaurants to theme parks to stores. Veterans, do you avail yourself of those? Or do you wish more were done to honor veterans on Veterans Day? We got the Orlando Parade on Saturday. Orange County's got a ceremony late this morning downtown, and similar events going on. And, you know, in some areas they've had to be adjusted or postponed because of the aftermath of Hurricane Nicole. But I know, Guy, you've been campaigning for something special for veterans that we frankly don't have.
And I always will campaign for this. On Veterans Day, veterans should have off.
And I think that's a great idea. As I suggested earlier, though, a lot of veterans are not working. Many are retired. Is there something we can do for them comparably on Veterans Day?
Once we figure that out, it should happen.
Yeah, well, how about your retired veterans? What about it? You're listening to the show right now. What would be the equivalent of that to honor you in a special way on Veterans Day? 407-916-5400. We're a talk show. Let's talk about it. We're also a texting show, 23680 there. We got that new talkback feature, which is great. You can make your own recording, saying whatever you want to say up to 30 seconds in the iHeartRadio app with the talkback feature. We're going to be talking about the big battle that may be shaping up here. We don't exactly know how this is going to play out between the two giants in the Republican Party who call Florida home. And we're talking about former President Trump and our Governor Ron DeSantis, who was just reelected in a landslide, huge red wave in Florida that did not come to pass nationwide in his reelection bid. So here is the one word texting poll. Who do you now think is Republicans the best chance of winning the White House in 2024? Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis? Text Don or text Ron to 23680. And let's talk about why we and you feel as we do when we cast these votes in the one-word texting poll. And we'll pick up right there after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Happy Veterans Day and good morning, Orlando. Headlining a little bit of welcome news here. If you're looking for a house and you're going to need a mortgage, mortgage rates dropped more than 0.5% just yesterday after the latest report showing inflation still high but slowing. The national average for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage dropped to 6.62% after running above 7% for a couple of weeks. Mortgage interest, though, still more than double the rate at the start of this calendar year. Stay tuned for updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories. Promise it to you, and we deliver all morning here on Good Morning Orlando.
The new form of broadcast excellence. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton, noon to 3 p.m. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Two anchors away, saluting the United States Navy. Our Navy veteran, Guy Roberts, our executive producer, and all you other Navy veterans here, we honor all branches of service on this Veterans Day here in 2022. Before we get into Trump and DeSantis and who gives the Republicans the best chance to win the White House in 2024, you know, and that's what has to happen here. You cannot fully stop the ruinous left-wing policies of the Democrats unless you have the executive branch, the White House. So I'm sorry. I put on the shelf whether I think I like something about Trump or I like something else about DeSantis or whatever. It's whoever can get enough votes to win the White House. That's where I am on this one-word texting poll. Where are you on this question? Who do you now think is Republicans the best chance of winning the White House in 2024? Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis? Text Don or text Ron to 23680. And let's talk about it on the phone at 407-916-5400, text line 23680. I have something else I want to bring up first, but I do want to also bring in our talkback listener here who went to the iHeartRadio app and recorded this.
Hey, y'all, Meet the NSA here. Want to give a shout-out to my redneck buddy, Lizzie. Hey, and Bud, calm down. You know that that's how politics is. Trump's going to say something bad about DeSantis. And DeSantis, if he decides to run, is going to say bad things about Trump. That's just how it is. I don't care which one runs, just run. And that's the redneck truth. Hey, y'all.
That's your biggest fan out there, Lizzie.
I love that. That is hysterical.
Yeah, my redneck buddy, Lizzie.
My people.
Yeah. All right, good stuff. Thank you. I appreciate that. From Tennessee. Now, a texter asks a really, really great question that has really been on my mind. In Florida, we had the election results all but wrapped up by 9 o'clock on Tuesday night in a state with 14 million voters. And they still are nowhere near having the voting wrapped up in Arizona and Nevada. It is outrageous. I'm all for states' rights. I don't want federal control of the elections. But somehow, some way, the Florida model has got to be adopted in some of these other states. It's to nobody's advantage to have the whole thing up in the air, control of Congress, day after day after day, and maybe ultimately week after week after week. And you got the runoff system in Georgia. We have to wait till the 6th of December there. It's outrageous that we've got to, Florida's figured it out. We were the laughing stock of the country in the 2000 election, and we fixed it, and we fixed it, and we know how to do it. And we ought to force feed Nevada and Arizona and Georgia, anywhere else that seems to have a problem getting voting totaled up in a timely fashion, and say, wake up, take a look, here's how to do it the way we do it in Florida. Needs to happen. 407-916-5400 on that. Text line 23680. Talk back in the iHeart Radio app. So where do you stand on this? With who gives the Republicans the best chance of winning the White House in 2024? And there's really no other person who has a shot at it. It's very clear right now, other than Trump or DeSantis. When we've asked this question before, Donald Trump's always won. Now DeSantis is way out in front. What do you guys think?
Well, I think if you want evidence, you need to look no further than Tuesday's midterm elections. Trump-backed candidates did not do well. Governor Ron DeSantis, a landslide victor in Florida.
So if you could vote, the vote would be Ron, if that's the question, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Easily.
Lizzie and Guy, I know you've been thinking about this, and so let me give you a crack at it, but we want to talk with you as well. Some very thoughtful long-form texters weighing in as the voting continues on the one-word texting poll. As we charge toward the 9 o'clock hour, more tributes to our veterans, my narration of What is a Veteran, coming up for a second play in the next half hour if you didn't hear it yet this morning. After we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in a quick 2 minutes, we're back at it here on the 50,000-watt front porch at 818. Headlines for you now. Ukraine getting a new air defense system, several of them actually, as part of its latest weapons package from the U.S. Yesterday, the Pentagon announced that 4 Avenger air defense systems will be sent in the package, meant to provide short-range air defense for soldiers on the ground in Ukraine. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
Money, real estate, investments. Learn from the pros, evenings and weekends. News Radio, WFLA Orlando.
Good morning, in Orlando. This is Lizzie Steele. I want to thank all of our vets and the loved ones of for your service and sacrifices, because the families and friends are also the ones who are there to support them. So thank you so much for that. Also, I want to let you guys know that we are doing a $1,000 cash giveaway, giving away $1,000 every hour, Monday through Friday, starting at 9 a.m.
Wow, it's coming right up, less than an hour.
That's right, it is. And here's how it works. What you do is you go to our website, WFLAOrlando.com. We will give you a keyword on air, and then you enter the keyword there. It's pretty simple.
That's our inflation cash bonus contest. And it is all brought to you by Mills Air. Yep, as soon as you hear that keyword, head to WFLAOrlando.com. The box is going to immediately pop up. You enter it in there, and you could win $1,000.
What's your thinking on this one-word texting poll here? If you could vote, Guy and Lizzie, who would you vote for? Is it Trump or DeSantis who would give the Republicans the best chance of winning the White House in 2024?
Well, what it looks like here on the text line, DeSantis is quite in the lead, but I like this texter. If Trump enters, we lose. Trump will bring out the anybody but Trump voters who would normally stay home. If Trump wins, primary, see above. If Trump loses primary, he will run as an independent. We lose.
All right. It transfers into what would your vote be if you could vote?
I would vote DeSantis.
Lizzie?
Trump, because DeSantis has kids and a wife who just beat cancer. I'm not for him being up there, because take a look at all of our past presidents, like Obama, for example. He had beautiful black hair, gorgeous, right? And what happened?
Yeah.
Couple years in, almost all gray. So how much stress? Come on.
Well, you know, that's one way to look at it. But what we're asking is, which candidate would give Republicans the best chance of winning the White House? You may not want DeSantis to be in the White House, but which candidate do you think would give the party the best chance?
Neither.
Okay, there.
There you are.
Well,
this one,
there's that.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, you can vote. Who do you think will now who do you now think will give the Republicans the best chance of winning the White House in 2024, which is what's got to happen here if you want to stop the destruction of this country at the hand of the Democrats and the left wing of the Democrat Party, which is pulling the strings of Joe Biden, who might be, the guy running again. He says he wants to. We'll see. Anyway, who would it be? Would it be Trump? Would it be DeSantis? Text Don or text Ron to 23680, or just sit it out like Lizzie.
Following up on what Lizzie said, you know, I kind of hate to see Biden reelected and see him go gray, because that's
would he know that he was going gray?
Yeah.
How many shades of gray are there? I think there's 50 shades of gray, aren't there?
That's what I heard.
Or a book about that?
And a movie, too.
Yeah.
Can we talk more about that?
You know what? Well, no. Wait a minute. Let me go on to some long-form texters here and give Trump a little bit of love, okay? So, you know, there are some of you who are missing the boat here and thinking, well, all of a sudden nobody likes Trump. I'm talking about the big prize, the White House. Who gets us there? DeSantis or Trump, period, okay? That's where I'm focused on this thing. It's not that I'm pro-DeSantis or pro-Trump or anti-Trump, anti-DeSantis or any of that. You got to have the White House to stop what the Democrats are doing to the country we love. So here's a couple of texts on the Trump side of the ledger. I think DeSantis would be a good president. However, I know Trump will definitely get the job done with a vengeance. Send all these illegals back. Make us respected all over the world again. This on another texter. Personally, I love DeSantis, but I understand Trump. DeSantis owes Trump for where he is. And DeSantis is, Trump is mad because DeSantis won't continue to pay homage over the endorsement in 2018. And the texture goes on. A bit of deference toward Trump would not have hurt DeSantis, but most politicians are the same. Power is everything. Waiting for 2028 or the possible implosion of Trump might have been the smart move for DeSantis. A statement like, I do not intend to run if Trump is running, might have been the correct attitude. DeSantis did not get into the vitriolic, vicious attacks of Trump yet. He will, though, get there once Trump is out of the picture. Additionally, DeSantis is so effective because he has the luxury of having both Florida chambers of the legislature with him. And boy, does he ever, and more so than ever. And DeSantis, the texter concludes, is played by the Democrats. I am disappointed by him. I don't see the play with the Democrats. I don't get that. Oh, another angle on Trump. Donald Trump, his financial independence is essential to us getting things back on track. DeSantis is too dependent on donations. Interesting angles on that. Further thoughts, guys?
Well, I mean, on that note, Trump originally said he was going to spend his own money on his presidential campaigns, but he takes donations, so he's no different from DeSantis in that regard.
Hey, speaking of Veterans Day events around the weekend here, Riley checking in from Chuliota in a beautiful part of Seminole County. Says Chuliota puts on the best fireworks show you'll find anywhere on Saturday at the VFW. Saturday night when it gets dark at the VFW in Chuliota. Thank you, Riley. Thank you, Patriots one and all. And with a deeper thanks than we have for anyone in this country, we thank our veterans who are serving or have served in the armed forces. Happy Veterans Day, and thank you for all you've done to ensure and secure our freedom and our greatness as a country. News now with Alan.
Picking up the pieces after Tropical Storm Nicole and an amazing discovery regarding the Space Shuttle Challenger. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together and elsewhere in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
Glad you're with us here for this special Veterans Day edition of Good Morning Orlando. More tributes to our veterans between now and the end of the show at 9 o'clock. Now, though, a news update with my colleague, my co-host, Alan Spector, focusing off the top on Nicole, the tropical storm that came through here. Gone, but certainly, Alan, not forgotten.
That's right, Bud. Residents along Florida's East Coast are in recovery mode after being battered by Tropical Storm Nicole. John Scott is Emergency Management Director for Brevard County.
Coastal erosion, large breaking surf, really beaches that were already vulnerable from Ian now taking some more damage from Nicole. There are a couple places where we're watching some structures, but we've got teams out there to support those things.
Scott says winds were clocked at 75 miles an hour, and a fourth of the county's power customers lost power during the storm. Five deaths in Florida are related to Nicole. That includes two people electrocuted by a downed power line in the Conway area of Orange County. Tropical Storm Nicole will soak the southeast today, bringing much-needed rain to areas suffering from drought, but threatening lives and property elsewhere in the region, Trey Thomas reports.
Rainfall ranging from 2 to 4 inches is forecast from central and eastern Georgia to the western and central parts of the Carolinas, eastern Tennessee, southwestern Virginia, and southeastern Kentucky. Some areas could see an inch or two an hour, raising the threat of flooding. Forecasters say the greatest flood threat is in the Appalachians, where up to 8 inches of rain could fall. Trey Thomas, News Radio, WFLA, Orlando.
A large section of the ill-fated Space Shuttle Challenger has been found off the Florida coast. Tom Costello has more.
Divers from the History Channel looking for World War II plane wreckage off the Florida coast instead came across something they never expected. A 20-foot piece of an American tragedy.
Heat tiles gave divers their first clue. They had found debris from the belly of a space shuttle. The Challenger's crew of seven was killed on January 28, 1986, when the shuttle exploded 73 seconds after liftoff. NASA says the families of the crew have been told of the find. Under U.S. law, any space shuttle artifact must be returned to NASA. The Magic are back in action tonight, hosting Devin Booker and the Phoenix Suns. Orlando aims for its first winning streak of the season after knocking off Dallas on Wednesday. The Magic are 3-9 on the year. WFLA News Time is 8:35. Elsewhere. And happy Veterans Day to the several country music stars who have served in the U.S. military.
When that sun is high in that Texas sky, I'll be bucking into California. Amarillo, my morning. Amarillo, I'll be there.
That is the king of country, George Strait, who served in the Army in the early 1970s. He worked on his music career while he was stationed in Hawaii and even joined the Army-sponsored band Rambling Country. After high school, Willie Nelson spent 9 months in the Air Force before he was medically discharged. Sturgill Simpson is a Navy vet, and Jamie Johnson spent 8 years with the Marines.
I think that's what draws an awful lot of fans to the country music genre, don't you? I mean, how patriotic so many of the country stars are, and you don't necessarily see that so much on the rock end of the spectrum. I know there are exceptions, but at least that's my perception, Alan.
Yeah, I mean, we see several examples right here. Yeah. CBS is announcing a Christmas special featuring guess who? Not them. And I can't take it anymore. These darn buttons. Does somebody do something about these?
Come on, stone fingers. What's going on in there?
That's it. That's the problem. I got huge hands, bud. You know that.
Let's give him a hand.
I'm an extremely large man with huge hands, and I'm just fumbling around with these tiny little buttons.
Stone fingers specter.
Trying to make everything work.
His knuckles drag on the ground.
Now, considering what I'm up against, most of the time, everything goes according to plan, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you have to excuse me the occasional mishap like we just had.
Sure.
So let me go back. So we just had the story about the veterans from country music. And
right.
We got that all settled and out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then
happy.
I moved on to the next story, which started like this. CBS is announcing a Christmas special featuring, guess who?
Shut up.
I'm just grateful for second chances. Mariah Carey, Merry Christmas to All, will feature the singer performing a selection of her holiday hits. This comes after Carey announced her two-date Christmas tour, which takes place in Toronto and New York City. Mariah Carey, Merry Christmas to All, set to air on Paramount Plus on December 20th.
Is that like your least favorite Christmas song, or do you just have a problem with Mariah Carey, Lizzie?
No, I love it. I love her. I would give anything to see her at Christmas and play that song.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you didn't like that song.
No, I was
joking.
No,
that's me.
Oh, that's you, guy. Got it.
No, when Lizzie said, shut up, she's like, you're kidding.
Oh.
This is great news.
I was so excited.
This is awesome. Shut up.
I need a Lizzie interpreter here.
Shut the front door.
All right.
And finally, and you may have heard this before, and just forget about anything that happened in the past couple of minutes. This is our final story on Elsewhere for this week.
Trying.
Finally, interested in getting ahead? Games, and I can't take it anymore. Yeah, if you're interested in getting a head, Sotheby's, the fine arts company based in New York, is going to be auctioning off a skull from a T-Rex next month.
Ooh.
The skull has been named Maximus. Apparently, it's in extremely good condition. According to Sotheby's, the 200-pound skull is part of a Tyrannosaurus rex skeleton, which was discovered in South Dakota. Now, you can bid on the T-Rex skull, but you're going to need at least $15
million.
Oh, come on.
That's chump change.
Give us a break.
Come on.
I didn't know Guy had that good a year. All right.
I got that on me. Are you kidding? The auction is set for December 9th. Find more on these stories on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com. Listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just look for Elsewhere. We're back with an update of news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando. Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
Quick wit and compelling perspectives. Glenn Beck, 9 till noon. News Radio, WFLA, Orlando.
Here we are in Good Morning Orlando, celebrating Veterans Day. I'm Alan Spector. Guy Roberts is here. So is Lizzie Steele. Bud Hedinger is somewhere.
He's disappeared.
He's vaporized into the ether. Do we have Bud?
No, we do not.
I see Guy on the phone. You know, I just came in and sat down and just was going to listen to Bud for a while, but didn't really have anything prepared. There, see, we're getting
all right. We're back here working for the home office, Alan.
Yep, it's pretty obvious at this point. Yes, you're working from elsewhere.
Yeah, well, there's no hiding that. There's no hiding that.
If you want, I could push some more buttons in here and.
please, Stone Fingers.
Or we could send people to the website, WFLAOrlando.com, because they can enter to win tickets to see Steve Martin and Martin Short. They're going to be at the Dr. Phillips Center. That's going to be April 29th next year. It's going to be 8 p.m. Just go to WFLAOrlando.com and enter to see Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Speaking of short, time is short to vote on a one-word texting poll. Final tally coming up. Who do you now think gives Republicans the best chance of winning the White House in 2024? Trump or DeSantis? Text Don or text Ron to 23680. And on this Thursday, 2022, we'll give this traditional narrative one more play. What is a veteran?
Gremlins.
What is a veteran? Some veterans bear visible signs of their service. A missing limb, a jagged scar, a certain look in their eye. Others may carry the evidence inside them. A pin holding a bone together, a piece of shrapnel in the leg, or perhaps another sort of inner steel, the soul's ally forged in the refinery of adversity. Except in parades, however, the men and women who have kept America safe bear no badge or emblem. You can't tell a vet just by looking. What is a vet? He is the cop on the beat who spent 6 months in Saudi Arabia sweating 2 gallons a day, making sure the armored personnel carriers didn't run out of fuel. He is the barroom loudmouth, dumber than five wooden planks, whose overgrown frat boy behavior is outweighed 100 times in the cosmic scales by 4 hours of exquisite bravery near the 38th parallel. She or he is the nurse who fought against futility and went to sleep sobbing every night for 2 solid years in Da Nang. He is the POW who went away one person and came back another, or didn't come back at all. He is the Quantico drill instructor who has never seen combat, but has saved countless lives by turning slouchy, no-account rednecks and gang members into Marines and teaching them to watch each other's backs. He is the parade-riding legionnaire who pins on his ribbons and medals with a prosthetic hand. He is the career quartermaster who watches the ribbons and medals pass him by. He is the three anonymous heroes in the Tomb of the Unknowns, whose presence at the Arlington National Cemetery must forever preserve the memory of all the anonymous heroes whose valor dies unrecognized with them on the battlefield or in the ocean's sunless deep. He is the old guy bagging groceries at the supermarket, palsied now and aggravatingly slow, who helped liberate a Nazi death camp and who wishes all day long that his wife were still alive to hold him when the nightmares come. He is an ordinary and yet extraordinary human being, a person who offered some of his life's most vital years in the service of his country, and who sacrificed his ambition so others would not have to sacrifice theirs. He is a soldier and a savior and a sword against the darkness, and he is nothing more than the finest, greatest testimony on behalf of the finest, the greatest nation ever known. So remember, each time you see someone who has served our country, just lean over and say, thank you. That's all most people need. And in most cases, it will mean more than any medals they could have been awarded or were awarded. Two little words that mean a lot. Thank you.
And we'll wrap up the Veterans Day edition of Good Morning Orlando here on News Radio WFLA, where we are freedom-loving Americans just like you. After a final check of Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes, here at 8:48. Headlining our big sports weekend, beginning here on News Radio WFLA tonight with Florida Gator basketball against Kennesaw State. Pre-game at 6:30, tip-off at 7 p.m. College football this weekend here on News Radio WFLA. Tomorrow, it's Florida against South Carolina at the Swamp. The Saturday pregame starts at 1, kickoff at 4 p.m. FSU visiting Syracuse, Miami visiting Georgia Tech, UCF at Tulane, South Florida hosting SMU. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories all morning, every day here on Good Morning Orlando.
Stay ahead of the storm with Operation Stormwatch on News Radio WFLA Orlando.
I was just out of the service. Good morning. This is Lizzie Steele, and I wanted to let you guys know if you missed anything from our show, you can download the free iHeartRadio app. Go to WFLAOrlando.com, and then you can re-listen to Alan's Elsewhere.
Yeah, that last one was, you know.
That was good stuff.
That's an award winner, so you want to listen to that one again.
It was very good stuff. So go back and download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us again.
Absolutely right. You know, when you go to the website, WFLAOrlando.com, there's all kinds of things there. All the podcasts, everything of Alan's Elsewhere. And actually, I got my Buds blog every day, and I lay out what we're doing on the show and what our sources of information are. Not all of them, but at least some of them to connect you to the hottest topics in talk radio as we welcome in the smartest audience in talk radio. And all of you are a part of that. But things continue here all throughout the weekend on News Radio WFLA. And Lizzie, Saturday morning's a busy one for you.
Yes, it is. You should tune in every Saturday morning, 7 a.m. to 9, for the Better Lawns and Garden Show. And it's hosted by Teresa Watkins. She's a garden author, a landscape designer, horticulturist, consultant, and she can answer all of your questions. It is a very good show, and you will learn a lot about, I don't know, just growing plants. The biggest question is always about tomatoes. So that is really cool.
Yeah. It's amazing when I come in here on Mondays, the text line is just jammed up with messages specifically to that show. And people come in with questions about anything that grows, and they get answers on Better Lawns and Gardens. It's amazing.
And every other text is about tomatoes, apparently.
It really is. It's funny. And also then right after that, then at 10 o'clock, we have Olson on Law. And you can call in for that and ask you some questions.
Okay, good enough. That is great stuff. Hey, Guy, I want to ask you, as our in-house veteran here who serves so proudly in the United States Navy, a couple of things. What does your military service background mean to you as you reflect on it on a Veterans Day?
I felt straight out of high school that I needed to do something with my life, and what better than serve the country?
And what was that experience like for you?
At first, it took some getting used to. But if I were to be called back, I would go in a heartbeat.
What were the highlights of being a Navy man?
Traveling. I got to see a lot of places. I was in Egypt. I was in Iraq. I was in Kuwait. I was in South Korea, Hawaii, Thailand, Alaska. I just went to a whole bunch of places, and it was free for me. I mean, I was working, but it was a lot of fun, and I made a lot of friends that I'm still friends with to this day.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a veteran like you, Guy, but as I've mentioned on the show before, my father and his father both served in the military, and my grandfather, Henry Spector, was a colonel in the U.S. Army. He was born in Russia, but came to this country and served the United States in World War II.
Wow, I love that.
And he was stationed all over the place, too, all over the globe. As a result, my father, his son, was born in the Philippines.
Oh, wow. And let's not forget our very own Melissa Fox. She served in the military. She served in the Army.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I did not. I had a military deferment. I would have served, but they wouldn't take me. And I really regretted that. And I feel like it's, you know, it's a part of my life that's missing and can never be reclaimed. There's a proud military history in my family that goes all the way back to the Civil War. A lot of you folks don't know my real full name is a mouthful. It's John Harris Brady Hettinger III, and John Harris Brady served in the United States for the United States in the Civil War out of New York, and I have his certificate. of participation in the war, and I have his Civil War cavalry sword, and it's one of my prized, proudest possessions. No question about it. We have a question here that we have asked you this morning that relates to the developing contest for the 2024 presidential nomination on the Republican side. There's nobody else on the horizon who seems to be in the same league with Trump and DeSantis. Let's pose the question one more time, if we can, Guy, and give the final voting from the smartest audience in talk radio.
Who do you think gives the Republicans the best chance of winning the White House in 2024, Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis? And we asked you to text in Don or Ron. Don got 50, Ron got 105.
More than 2-1 for DeSantis. Very similar question asked a couple of times before. Trump always won. Is this a permanent shift or just the flush of the aftermath of the big red wave in the state of Florida and the absence of it on the national scene? Who knows? But there'll always be that and a lot more to talk about. Happy Veterans Day, one and all. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you. God bless you and God bless America.
Stick around. Your next chance at $1,000 is just minutes away.